Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We began two weeks ago in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray, Jesus teaching his disciples how one should pray. He begins by saying, Our Father in heaven. And as I pointed to you that week, that's all about acknowledging the presence of God. Secondly, I said, Hallowed be thy name. Jesus' point was to acknowledge not just the presence of God, but the person of God. When we have these two in tandem, our prayer lives are going to be significantly different and not the boring religious way that we often find ourselves in. Today, I want to entitle this message, Unanswered. Basically, the question is, why are some of my prayers unanswered? For one, there is the presence of God, which we know is there 24 hours a day, and there's the person of God. But then there's the third factor we need to understand in the Lord's Prayer, and that's the purposes of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he says, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This part of prayer, or praying the Lord's Prayer, is a declaration. It says, Your kingdom come. Last week, I talked to you about the idea of magnifying God. You could be magnifying things that are small through a microscope and making them look bigger than they really are. Then you have the telescope, which is drawing something from distance and making sure that it's drawn close to you so that you will realize the magnification or how large it really is. Declaring your kingdom come is an adjunct, a supplement to this idea of magnifying God, because the truth of the matter is he's nearer than we really care to realize. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus tells us, Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered to them and said, The kingdom of God does not come with observation or just the things that you look at, nor will they say, So see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's nearer than you really realize. But what does that really mean? What that means is your kingdom come means the dominion of God is not just outside of you or a religious practice or something that you say, but it's literally at the very core of who you are. When you say your kingdom come, what you're saying is placing him at the center and the throne of your heart. You're trying to tell God, God, you are Elohim, the creator, my creator, the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, the entire universe, and you should and rightfully should be at the center of my life. Secondly, you're saying Yahweh. You are the God who's specific to me, the God who says, I am who I am, and you should rightfully sit at the very throne of my heart. Have your way and your will is the declaration when you say your kingdom come. You're Jehovah, the personal God to me, the God who heals me, the God who provides for me, the God who cares for me, my shepherd, and everything else that is connected to that word, Jehovah. You're saying, you're my Adonai, my master. More importantly, you're saying, you're Emmanuel, the God who is with me, you're Jesus. This is what you're doing when you declare your kingdom come. You're declaring God's dominion over your life at the very core of who you are. Secondly, you're saying your sovereignty. You're acknowledging not just his dominion, but that he's sovereign and he knows some things that you don't. Sovereignty is best defined by the 1828 dictionary as an adjective coming from the Latin word sovereign, which means supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion as sovereign ruler of the universe. This is who God is. When you say your kingdom come, you're declaring his sovereignty. God, you have supreme power. You possess all the dominion and the sovereign ruler of the universe. Supreme, superior to all others, chief, God is the sovereign good of all who love and obey him. The idea of people complaining and saying we need joint sovereignty is laughable. When you say someone is sovereign, he has absolute power over you. That's why sometimes our prayers are not answered, because we're demanding our own sovereignty when our reality is we have very little knowledge and information or abilities to do the things that we want. God is sovereign because he knows some things, and as such, he may cause to delay or even not answer our prayers because he knows they're not good for us. In Job 42, verse 2, it says, I know that you can do all things. This is the declaration, for no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Because God can do all things, then his purposes can never be thwarted. I like this headline, which says, ministers vow to step down and thwart No deal Brexit. To thwart is to oppose. To thwart is to say, I don't want your way. I don't want your will. I'm going to do it my way. To declare your kingdom come is to say, God, I surrender to your will, to your way, to your sovereignty, to your control over my life, because you have dominion over my life. Job 42 says, no purpose of you, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And thus, it is best for me to align my heart. The prayer, therefore, when you say your kingdom comes, to say, God, align my heart. Better yet, teach my heart how to align it with your purposes. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. No matter how hard you try, you may think you're going to get away with it. Fact of the matter is, God's purposes will prevail. Your kingdom come is declaring, God, I declare your purposes that prevail over my life. I'm a student of history, as some of you know, and one of my favorite history books is the, believe it or not, the Sears Roebuck 1894 edition. When I read this, I laugh at some of the things because I look at some of the sections of this 300-page catalog where you find clothing, and it teaches me about fashion back then, and you find the silverware department or the jewelry department. I'm also interested in looking at the musical department and, very interestingly, the gun department and the bullets. But there's a part in that catalog that is the buggy department. The buggy department shows you what transportation looked like then, and it showed you how cheap they were at the low end and the highest end. But the fact of the matter is today, none of this exists, because the truth of the matter is times change, technologies will come and go, but the Lord's purposes will prevail. When you pray, let your kingdom come, that's what you're saying. Many are the plans in the person's heart, but Lord, your purposes will prevail. The things around me may change all over me, but your purposes, your will, your dominion, your sovereignty will prevail. Finally, it speaks about his will. When you're saying, God, your kingdom come, you're inviting his dominion, his sovereignty, and his perfect will to be at the center core of who you are. It says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Make no mistake about it, God has a will, and his will is good. And if you do it right, he's going to be pleasing to your life. And at some point in your life, as you pray this prayer and say, let your kingdom come, you will realize God's will is actually perfect for our lives. So why are our prayers unanswered oftentimes or sometimes? It's because we have not given into his dominion. It's because we do not see him as sovereign. And when we see him as sovereign, then we're willingly saying, Lord, have your way. We do not trust that his will is perfect. When we trust his will is perfect, when we give him to his dominion and we see him as sovereign, then we can trust and wait to see that one day he will answer those prayers. Submit to his dominion, believe in his sovereignty, and trust his will. This is what you're saying when you say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, but more importantly, your kingdom come. Next it says, your will be done. God's will is universal. And this is the declaration when you're saying your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will is not just a simple thing about my own life. I'm not the center of the universe. You are. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, the second half of the verse says, he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God's will is for everyone. It's universal. When we reject that, that's on us. But the basic truth and reality is God loves everybody and desires his kingdom and his will to be upon everybody's hearts. One of my favorite history books is History's Turning Points. I often refer to this, as you can see, there are notches in the edges, because I often look at this and look at how the hand of God in the turning points of history, despite the sins of men. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24, interesting bit of history here that you want to understand. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will happen. Notice, surely as I have planned. When God plans something, it's for sure. So it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. It may not look like that for the moment for you, but God's hand is upon history and he controls it. Verse 25 says, I will crush the Assyrians in my land. He's talking about the situation that involves the whole world. This is the plan determined for the whole world, he says. This is the hand stretched out over the nations. It involves this universal idea that affects the entire world. And verse 27 says, for the Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? The Almighty has purposed, and as such, no one can thwart him. His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? Fact of the matter is, in our hands, time kind of looks like this. When we start praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're seceding our own abilities and our own time and saying, God, you know time as infinite. You know the universality of things, and we have no right to question you or to reason away from the vantage point that you have that we will never have. This is what you're saying when you're saying, our Father in heaven, yes, you're present. Hallowed be your name. Yes, I'm honoring you for who the person that you are be, but more importantly, I want to align myself to your purposes. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. The purposes of God are for every generation, is universal for those who are living, for those who are dead, and for those who are about to be born. His desire at the end of the day is that we will all receive his love in Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, we've been saved, and that's the universal plan and purpose of God so that we may enjoy the fullness of his kingdom that is near and within us. For God so loved the world, this is universal, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, whatever generation who believes in him will never perish, shall not perish, but enjoy eternity and life with him. Now, this is what you're saying when you say, your will be done. God, your will is universal, and I want to align with them, whether I understand them or not. But the other side of this is God's will is also very personal. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God speaks to the prophet Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I love this. Before you were born, I set you apart. I already set my plans and purposes in action even before you were born because I have a very specific will for you that involves a prophet to the nations. The world is affected. Joseph Campbell's book, A Hero with a Thousand Faces, is really a chronicle of recurring features of leadership. Whether it's Anakin Skywalker, who starts out as an insecure nobody, ending up to be Darth Vader and forgot the purpose. That's basically what happens. When we pray the purposes of God, we center into the very reason why he created us. When we lose that purpose, we end up to become Darth Vaders and sometimes cause more pain than the initial heroism we enjoy. Such is the story of Saul, the king of Israel, who once was called upon by God, who did something heroic, and in the end became more of a pain to a lot of people. And by the way, the person who also replaced him, David, at some point when he forgot his purposes, when he forgot the plans of God, when he didn't realize that these were universal and personal, ended up hurting people as well. The truth of the matter is, without this prayer, we are going to be hopeless living out our life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. God has specific plans and purposes for individuals as he has for the universality of life. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. This is what you're doing when you pray this prayer. When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, you're declaring Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. There are specific purposes that God created that only I can fulfill, which God prepared beforehand that we should literally walk in them. Prayer is not simply just religious. That's why it's boring. When we pray the Lord's Prayer in the way that God intended it to be, it is actually a very interesting way to pray. Your kingdom come is a surrender to God's dominion, sovereignty, and will. Your will be done is declaring God's will is universal, God's will is personal, but more importantly, it is my way of agreeing with you. Lord, I agree with your will. Lord, I desire nothing but your will. It says in Genesis 26 verse 1 that there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. A global catastrophe was in the offing. And notice where it says that Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. In verse 2, it says, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Notice this. This is a global catastrophe, and yet God finds the time to make something personal so that Isaac will fulfill his destiny and purpose in life. Do not go down to Egypt, he said, because I live in the land that I will tell you to live. When you know how to listen to the plans and the purposes of God, you will have an amazing life in him. In verse 3, it says, stay in the land for a while. I will be with you and I will bless you. Now watch this. For to you and your descendants, here it is, the purposes and the plans of God that affects a universal side and a personal side. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, the blessing, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. Now, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars and in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through you, there it is again, the universal and the personal offspring, all nations of the entire earth will be blessed. How does that happen? It says, because Abraham, your father, obeyed my voice, chose my will and my purposes. He kept my charge. He kept my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Last week, I told you the importance of prayer and how prayer is something that is not boring at the least, but is a journey and an adventure with God of learning to hear his voice, understanding why he talks that way, applying it, and more importantly, mastering the ability to hear that voice. The charge of God. Lord, what is your charge for my life? What am you putting me in charge of? The commandments, the specific commandments that you have for my life, your statutes, your laws. This is what it means when you're saying your will be done. As I try and land this message, it says your kingdom come, your will be done. And finally it says on earth as it is in heaven. This part of this prayer is the declaration that this is daily. Something that I do every day is simply this. I come to God, acknowledge his presence, acknowledge his person, declare these things and says, Lord, after I've acknowledged you and after I've spent time with you, I'm declaring your kingdom come. I'm declaring you're the center of my core. I'm surrendering to you every day, to your dominion. I'm surrendering to your sovereignty because you're so wise. You're so knowledgeable. I don't know if I should even argue the fact that I should submit to you. And finally, I want your will, your perfect will. You're good, you're pleasing, and perfect. This is what you're doing when you're praying this daily. You're saying, God, I'm surrendering to your dominion, your sovereignty. I want nothing less than the good, pleasing, and perfect will of my God. Secondly, what you're doing daily is you're saying, Lord, let your will be done. Let it happen, God. Your universal will, your personal will, I am agreeing with it. And if I haven't learned to do that, teach me, God, how to agree with it. And Lord, teach me to declare that the very things you planned for me in heaven will happen to me here daily on earth. Secondly, it's just not just agreeing to God's will, personal, universal, and agreeing with him. It's on earth as it is in heaven, daily, and for the rest of my life. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, for in the gospel is the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. A righteousness that is by faith from beginning to end. Our lives need not to be sporadic, not to be inconsistent, something that's up and down, but can be something that's continual from first to last when we choose to live God with God daily and for the rest of our lives. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Why would I declare this? Why would I even say something like this? Romans 8:28 says, as we know, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those whom he called according to his purpose. When we align ourselves to God's purposes, he works all the good things in life for us. This is why we declare on earth as it is in heaven daily for the rest of our lives and finally for all of eternity. As I close this moment, I want us to proclaim Jesus, the very answer to our prayers and the one who is yes and amen. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup as you join me in this word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we declare your kingdom come, your will be done on earth in our lives, just as it is in heaven. Come and take your rightful place at the center of our hearts. Take dominion over our lives as we believe you are sovereign over all things. We declare that your will is universal, personal, and agree that it is good, pleasing, and perfect. Teach us to pray this prayer daily, if not multiple times in a day, and for the rest of our lives. And we surrender our hearts, as we surrender our hearts and lives to you, we believe that you will cause all things to work together for our good. And in the times that we may not understand, we may understand your will, your ways, help us to yield and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.